Okay, for the record, we're back in session for the afternoon panel, and we've verified that counsel for the state will not be attending, and he has waived his oral argument. But you may go ahead and argue if you wish. Mr. Mitchell.
May it please the court. Thanks again for allowing, Mr. Robbins, thanks you actually for allowing us to come to the court and have oral argument on this case. Basically, I really wanted to argue. I didn't file a reply brief since the case, this court allowed us to have oral argument. I didn't go ahead and file a reply brief, but I wanted to get some things in oral argument. I'm going to take some time to just address the pertinent issues, and most importantly is the search of the truck and the extraneous evidence that came in the trial court level. Now, as with all warrantless searches, the validity depends on the unique facts and circumstances of each case. Mr. Robbins is disputing that the arresting officer did not have he's disputing that the arresting officer had probable cause to search based on his testimony at trial. Okay, so if you take it step by step, first we need reasonable suspicion. Reasonable suspicion exists that the officer has specific, articulable facts. When combined with rational inferences from those facts, would lead them to reasonably conclude that a person actually is or is about to commit a crime. Okay, now the trial attorney here didn't object to reasonable suspicion. He said he kept saying probable cause, but he meant reasonable suspicion to actually detain him. What the officer had was a description of the truck, a description of the vehicle, description of the person, and the location. So trial counsel is probably right that he wasn't objecting to that he had reasonable suspicion. The officer had reasonable suspicion to detain him. Now.
But can't, in the course of a valid detention, probable cause be developed?
Yes, Your Honor. So once validly stopped, a defendant's vehicle is subject to this warrantless search if law enforcement had probable cause. So they could develop probable cause. Probable cause exists when reasonable, trustworthy facts and circumstances within the knowledge of the officer on the scene would lead persons of reasonable prudence to believe that an instrumentality of a crime or evidence pertaining to a crime will be found. Okay, now how did he go about developing this probable cause? We have to look at the investigation that he undertook. The investigation, the question and answers that came from the stand was pretty succinct. Question, okay, and the probable cause you're claiming is from the 911, not from something you saw before you conducted the search, right? Answer, no, I made the stop based on what this dispatcher told me. Right. Question. Right. Other than that, before you conducted the search, you had no other information. Is that right? Answer. That's right. That is all that he had. So if you break it down, you have a truck leaving the area. You have a matching description. Driver said he was coming from a neighbor's house, his bookkeeper, who's a neighbor of the complainant, and offers the explanation for his activities there. There were questions, there were more denials, search. That's what he had, that's what he testified to. Now.
I thought he saw the fence post driver in the bed of the truck.
See, this is the thing, and this is what's interesting about this case. And well, it's not really interesting. All cases that go to trial, there is some preparation, okay? So when the 911 call came in, the complainant said, okay, I see a guy, he's carrying one of my dad's tools from the back. That's what they had. There was nothing but a fence post driver anywhere, okay? With trial preparation and with the officers maybe investigating, right now everybody's on the same page with a fence post driver. Now, when those questions came out of what information you had prior to the search, he never said anything about the fence post driver, okay? Now, you might have mentioned something in passing that, oh yeah, I saw it in the back. But this is the thing. At the time he undertook the search, and the time these questions were asked, he had no other information. Of course, when he did the search, he's going to see the fence post driver. He's going to see all the other stuff. Okay.
Well, but at the suppression hearing, both officers testified that they saw the fence post driver in the bed of the truck, right?
I think they used the term plain view, in plain view.
At the suppression hearing, only one officer testified, and that was the arresting officer.
Okay.
Now, the arresting officer said that, but you have to look at what he actually said. What is the information that you had before you made the search? And all the information that he had is the information of what the 911 caller told me. And I'm adding some more information, such as, well, you asked him some questions and you understood that he was coming from this area.
So you're saying that we can't, because he answered that question, other than before you conducted the search, you had no other information. That's right. Because he said that's right, we can't consider what was in plain view?
Well, he didn't say I used a plain view, that I saw a fence post driver and that gave me more probable cause. Never said anything like that. And then what if? Let's say this. He did see it in plain view. He wasn't at the scene. The arresting officer wasn't at the scene. The scene meaning the burglary. He is there. He has detained Mr. Robbins. He's going through all his paperwork, doing all his business. The other two officers that testified went to the scene, Officer Spohn and Officer Lukowski, I think is that how you say it? They went to the scene, and they talked to the complainant, okay? That's what happened. And while the arresting officer was still there, they were conducting the search with Sergeant Rogers at the time they were already at the scene. So that's two different things. So let's say he did see it in plain view. What does that mean? He saw something in plain view, okay. He has to make that connection. Now in the state's brief, what they try to say is, well, the two other officers came back and told him, got the fence post driver and told him that, look, we're making a connection about the circular area on the door, and we look at his fence post driver and it looks like the same thing. But that's not what they testified to. That's not what happened in the trial. They're making that conclusion, but again, this court doesn't have to follow that because it wasn't testified to at trial. Okay.
Well, now, the trial court made a finding of fact, right, that Azle PD officer Richard Lukowski observed a large metal fence post driver in plain view in the bed of the defendant's pickup truck, right?
Yes. Now, if you read the transcript, he said he didn't see it, and then he saw it. So, you know, I don't know which one is right. He said he didn't.
The trial court evidently believed that he did see it.
Well,
don't we have to give deference to that?
It has to give deference to that. And you know, I didn't bring that up and I didn't make an objection to the findings of fact and conclusions of law. But the findings of fact and conclusions of law was prepared by the state. Didn't give me a chance to actually say anything. Didn't give me a chance to talk to the trial court defense attorney and say, hey, are these correct or anything. Just they prepared it, signed it, and there we are. So while I said in my brief that you have to look at some of these things more carefully, those facts were prepared by the state. I know I had... Lukowski, you know, I had in, I think it was volume 3 of the reporter's record, he said he did not see the back of the truck. Now, a few lines later, then he said, well, I saw the fence post driver in the back of the truck. So I don't know. You could, if the judge may have given deference and say, okay, well, the second thing he said was correct. Now, line 10 in those findings of fact, Lukowski told Graves, what Lukowski told Graves was not testified to in trial. That's not what happened in trial. And if it did, if it didn't happen in trial, I don't know how the court could make those facts that Lukowski told Graves exactly what happened, because Lukowski didn't tell Graves anything. What Lukowski testified to is that after they were at the scene, he went back and he picked up the fence post driver and went back to where the arrest occurred, picked up the fence post driver, went back to the house and did their police did some kind of comparison and took some pictures. So that's what we have here in this case. Now, so you know, the arresting officer, without Lukowski actually telling him, look, the instrumentality that you see in here is part of this crime scene. That's what the state wants you to believe that happened. And then he had probable cause to search. But again, that's not what happened. I mean, those two went back there, the two officers went back to the scene, and the arresting officer wasn't just standing around just waiting. I mean, you could see them, they started taking, in 5 minutes after, they started taking pictures of the truck, opening the truck, starting to take pictures of it. They already started searching at that point in time. And you'll probably have to look at the actual state's exhibit to see that. That wasn't so, because that wasn't testimony, but you'll have to look at the state's exhibit to actually see that. Okay. Now.
A video?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
The video.
Okay. The state also mentioned about the warrant. Now, again, the officer said he didn't rely on the warrant. He didn't rely on search incident to arrest to actually do the search. And if he plainly says he didn't rely on the warrant, and he plainly says not in search incident to arrest, the court cannot rely on that. And even though the findings of facts had mentioned the warrant, the officer plainly said he didn't rely on any of that he didn't rely on the warrant to actually do the search. All right, let's go to the extraneous evidence. The state wanted to introduce the license plate and the reason behind those plates, okay, and that was to make Mr. Robbins a thief. The state in this brief is going to say that the defense didn't object to it. The defense objected to everything that was found in the truck. So for them to say that he didn't actually object to the license plates coming into evidence is just plain wrong. And then he also also objected to the reason behind the plates, and it's important. Because what the judge wanted to know in that mini suppression, I don't call it a suppression, but a mini hearing that they had outside the presence of jury, if the evidence shows that this happened on the day, the same day of, then I'm going to let that come in. If it happened on a different day, I'm not going to let it come in. Well, when you do an either or, what you always get in the law, you always get something in between, and then you have to make a decision. So Ms. Mitchell got up there and testified. She said, well, I don't know when it happened. It could have happened the day before. It could have happened the day. It could have happened a week. I don't actually know what happened. So instead of erring on the side and caution, the court let it in. And that was an abuse of discretion. let me add quickly before my time runs out. As to the opening statements, I mean, he's asking the court to hamstring defense attorneys so much. Now, I don't personally like when you can't make basically an opening statement because everything you say could lead to extraneous evidence coming in. But basically, the opening statements that the defense attorney made was was, he had to contest something what the state is going to say. So the state, in their opening statement, said, you're going to hear from Ms. Mitchell. Who's going to tell you this? He was going to tell you that they talked on the phone, and he said he didn't want to go in there. He didn't go in there. He didn't want to steal anything. So that was in their opening statement, okay? So he just, in his opening statement, he said, well, you're going to hear some evidence that he didn't go in there, and he didn't have any intent. I mean, that's what the state was saying, and so he wanted the lesser included offense. Now I'm out of time. Is that 20 minutes?
You can finish your sentence.
Yeah. I'll wind it up real quick. And quite frankly, what we have in this case is basically they didn't need to make his character into a thief. I mean, basically they didn't need it. They had the who, the why, not the why, but they had the who, the what, the where. They had everything. They had a plethora of case law saying that the jury could decide on this just by what he was doing there, the circumstances of it. They didn't need the extraneous evidence, and the court abused the direction when it brought it in.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Appreciate your argument, and you're released. Go about your business, and the court will stand adjourned.